Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Osband, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masechta Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Gimel, page 73. So most of this daf begins with a discussion about this advance payment for produce. But later, sort of towards the end of Amud Aleph, there's an interesting accusation to Rava. And it has to do with interest or something being thought of as interest when you do a surcharge from sharecroppers. Amrulei Rabbanan l'Rava. The rabbi said to Rava, Ka achil mar ribit. The master, right, consumes interest. They actually accused Rava of taking interest. Why? Dukule alma shakli arba'a. Because everyone else takes four cores of grain as their share from the sharecroppers. Umiselke la'arisa b'nisan. And they let them go home in Nisan. In other words, they're done doing what they need to do in Nisan. They've harvested all the grain. Mar nitar luhu ad iyar. But the master, Rava, waits until iyar. Vishakal Shita, and he takes six cores. So this sort of extra charge that was being done here, first of all, Rava waited a month longer than everybody else, and he charged the sharecroppers a higher rent, right, six cores instead of four cores. And so this could be seen as interest. So Rava says, Amar Luhu, he says to them, Atun ka abditun shelo kadin. It is you who don't act according to the law. Ara la aris mishta abed. The land is bound to the sharecropper, right? So the terms of sharecropping are that the sharecropper should be allowed to use the crop until the crop is fully ready. I atu misalkitu luhu b'nisan. But you send them home, you send them away in Nisan. Mafsidutu luhu b'chama, which actually causes them loss because, in other words, the produce isn't necessarily fully ripe or ready to be collected, and therefore you're sort of sending them back before they can finish their job and take everything that they really can get. Ana natra luhu ad iyar, right? And so therefore I wait for them until iyar umar v'chana luhu b'chama, and I cause them more game because they ask for a higher rent, right? It's more just that it's a longer period of time for them to collect the crops, and it's not actually rebates. So from here, there's basically five stories of different business dealings that rabbis did. And they're very interesting to read because it sort of tells you something about like how they conducted their business. I don't want to read all of them, but I just think take the time to do it because we've always talked about this, like where in the Gemara is there examples and where is there theoretical? And I think there's two things to learn here. One is that there's very much examples here. Like, and I think we see this primarily or a lot in Ezekiel, right? But I think the other thing, and like maybe this is a little bit too of a soapboxy point to make, the rabbis were involved in business. Everybody worked. And I think it creates a very different model of what it means to be a rabbi, but also that these were communal leaders, but yet they all had business dealings and very real business dealings. And sometimes were accused of maybe not doing things exactly the right way, and they had to justify why they did it that way. And so I think these stories really are worth the time to read and to examine very closely.
Yeah, I think this whole daf is really an example of cases, right? Like real events that took place. There's so much detail, and even the examples themselves are like about which there are then sub examples. I think make it very clear that that's what's going on here, as opposed to a list of halachas without the case, so to speak. I'll give you an example here. Moving to Amud Bet. There's a whole discussion here about how people would buy wine in advance. Amalei Rava mi Barnish l'Rav Ashi, Chazimar Rabbanan deka'achli ribita. Right, so Rava of Barnish said to Rav Ashi that the master who sees the sages have or consume, eat, interest. What does that mean that they would have interest? Yahave zuze acham Rav Tishrei umav Mavcherei lebateve. They would kind of commission wine in Tishrei. They would give the money for the wine, select the wine, and then they would get the wine later in Tevet. Now, if they paid the money for the wine and then they got the wine right away, there is, of course, a chance that by the time they get to Tevet, the wine would have gone bad. But the idea here is that they pay for the wine in advance. They get the benefit of guaranteeing, right? Like, the wine that they're going to get is going to be good wine because they're not going to take possession of it, you know, as if it was spoiled. They're going to take possession of the wine that is provided to them that is already good. So then the question is, could that be considered interest? Because by paying in advance, you know, does that exchange make it sound like they're automatically going to get the better version, so to speak? And is that worth more, which would then be interest? Amar Leh, Sir Ravashi says back to him, Ini nami achamar kiyahavi. They gave him the money, you know, at the beginning to get wine. Achla lo kiyahavi. They didn't ask for vinegar. Meaning, so they're only, what they were buying was wine. So what they're getting at the end is wine. It's still going to be wine, as opposed to worrying about it turning into vinegar. Mekar de chamra chamra, de chala chala. Right? They don't have to worry that it went bad, because even if the wine that they might have taken at the beginning would have gone bad by the end, it's irrelevant to a case of if they're purchasing wine, then you give them wine. Hahi shata u de mavachre. Right? Meaning they've selected the wine that they paid for in advance. But they were never planning to buy, let's say, that bottle in particular. They were always, and whatever might be in it later as it changes, right? Their specific focus is wine. Ravina havyahave zuze levnei akara de shnavta v'shavchi leitzvei kifuta, no kufita. Ravina gave money in advance, and he would give to the people of the fortress. The word here is Akra, at the river Shanvata. Why? They also, he's buying wine. He's putting in his order for the wine after the harvest, after the grape harvest. And then they would bring him the wine after the harvest. And then they would pour this extra tfei kufita, this extra jug for him, meaning, you know, as a thank you, I guess, for the fact that he had placed his order early. But the point is that he hasn't required it. It's not like he said, and by the way, make sure to throw in an extra jug of wine. Atel kamei d'Rav Ashi, amar lei mishari. The whole issue came before, Ravina really brought the whole issue before Rav Ashi, and to say, like, do we call this interest, this extra jug? Amar lei, ina chulei hu deka machlei gabach. And so Ravina says to him, like, are you allowed to do this? Rav Ashi says to him, yes, you're allowed. Meaning, what are they doing? They're not accepting payment for the extra wine specifically to the benefit, right? The whole idea is they're making nice, right? Like, they're saying, yes, we want to do business with you. And that's a really different kind of thing than paying interest, right? The additional wine is not as payment for the advance payment. It's just a thank you. So it's not interest. The Gemara goes on to explain how Ravina says, like, the land is not theirs. They're working in this Shanvata area, and they have to pay taxes, and it's a lien to the king, and so on. And so then the question is, you know, is it possible that by virtue of the fact that they have to pay taxes on the wine to the kingdom, whatever, to the law of the land, is that going to then have any impact on their sales with regular people? But it seems that in the end, that's not really a concern. And then the last bit here that I wanted to pay attention to is a case where Rav Papa says to Rava, I'm really Rav Papa to Rava, Chazi mar hani rabbanan di havi zuze akarga di inchi umishabde behutfe. Look at these sages who pay money, akarga, for the tax. What's the tax? For the benefit of all the people. And then after they pay the tax, they have to have their people work more, extra, in order to cover the money that was paid. So Rava says to him, Amar Leh, Hashta, Ichu Shchiva, Lo Amri Lachu Hamilta. He says, if I were dead, I couldn't explain this to you, so it's a good thing you came to me while I'm alive. Which is a difficult thing to say. I can only think that it really did take place late in Rava's life. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshet, so he quotes Rav Sheshet, Mohar kaihu dahani batafsa de malka manach umalka amar mandaloya hiv karga lishta abid lamandi yahavi karga. The Mohar kaihu, this document that puts people that attest to the people who are in servitude, right? Because they are working to cover these taxes, right? So then those are servants to the king. And the king says, you know, if you don't pay a head tax, then you're going to have to, anyway, basically the bottom line is that if you don't pay the head tax, then you're going to be in servitude to the one who has to pay the head tax, and he's going to make you work harder to be able to pay, to cover the head tax, right? So at the end of the day, you know, they're going to be asked to work as much as anybody wants them to work, in which case, it's still not a concern of interest by virtue of paying the tax that is required, like, by the law of the land. It doesn't make it, like, they're still paying extra in that way, but it's not exactly the same kind of thing as, again, if you're paying extra for the benefit as we would have otherwise in interest.
Well, that's our DAP discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Revenue Shell Farber for hosting us on the Hadra website. Let us know what you thought about this DAP on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.